questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
That's right. It's time for Ready, Steady, Learn here on 95BFM. Thanks to the University of Auckland. We're joined by Kelly Shuttleworth in the studio. Morena.
Hi.
How you going?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks. I'm ready to learn
ready,
as well.
Ready and steady to learn. I'm really excited to talk a little bit about your research. You've been delving into constitutional conventions.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Oh, I'm surprised, you guys. I thought you'd be here.
We expect
with a massive pile of the books on the desk, ready to ask me those in-depth questions.
I feel like it's one of those phrases like constitutional conventions where, you know, like your lay person, your everyday person would be like, oh, I'm just not going to get involved. That sounds really complicated. I guess you kind of think you know what a constitution is.
Yes.
But it turns out it's a lot more complicated, maybe?
It is. I think the thing about constitutional conventions as well is that it has a different meaning in the US versus places with an unwritten constitution, like the UK. They're big in Canada, Israel, New Zealand, places like that. Whereas in the US, just to be clear from the start, a constitutional convention tends to be when everyone gets together and helps, say, write a constitution.
Mm.
Whereas in places where the constitution is not all contained in one foundational document like that, conventions are, it's a kind of form of practice that has essentially fossilized into something that's not quite a law, but a rule.
Mm.
So they're not legally binding, but they've been followed by the constitutional actors so consistently that like it's considered binding amongst them, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I found the example that you put in here really interesting about how in the UK, the king has to sign off any laws, right?
Yeah, royal assent. Any law before, so you have the Act of Parliament and the houses, both the houses are like, yep, this should be law, but it's not until the king signs it off. And so it is actually the same in New Zealand, but the Governor General does that role instead and on behalf of the king.
Okay.
Will also still has to approve the legislation in order for it to actually be law. But the convention is that the king always just approves it and the governor general always approves it. Like the last time a monarch didn't approve a piece of legislation was in 1708. It was Queen Anne.
Okay.
So
it doesn't happen all the time, but it's not impossible.
That's the big question. How much, like, you know, so it would be a constitutional crisis if the king refused.
Totally.
But it came up over Brexit. When people were kind of in a panic around the Brexit legislation coming through, you suddenly had people going, but the Queen could just not sign it, right? And
which is crazy thinking, like, for you to get to the point where you're so desperate, where you're like, oh, come on, Lizzie, we're counting on you.
I know, let's just upend the entire idea of constitutional monarchy to stop in the EU.
Are there any other, like, fascinating examples? Because I feel like there would be. Of these kind of constitutional conventions that we wouldn't necessarily be aware of but are in place?
Sure. So conventions are actually, like, they're really fundamental within the constitutions here. And a lot of the democratizing of the constitution as we went away from it being the monarch to the people is done through conventions.
Mm.
In New Zealand, in particular, they have the Caretaker Convention, which has at times made the news, been, you know, a bit
it
of a hot
has.
Topic. Yeah. So, and that's that when a government has lost the confidence of Parliament, they are kind of more constrained in what they can do. They become a caretaker government and they can't put forward any radical changes after, if you, for example, after an election where they haven't won but they're still in power until the new government comes in, there is a convention that kind of is very restrictive over what they can actually pass, because it would be kind of nuts if they lost the election and then decided to, I don't know, rewrite the rules of the election as a last kind of hurrah.
Look, it's every 10 years now. We're still in.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that's so through really this research, have you found that people aren't really all that aware of constitutional conventions?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, actually, people aren't that aware of constitutions in general.
Yeah.
I think especially in places with an unwritten constitution. But I was reading the, like, most fascinating book the other day on about kind of the obsession with writtenness. And they were like, even in places with a written constitution and one where that's kind of held up and quite like lofty, people still have like a really, really shallow understanding of what is in their constitution, but constitutional conventions, even more so, 100%.
And also, like, when things are written up, doesn't mean they're going to be followed. Like, all you got to do is look at Te Tiriti or Waitangi, and it's like, people aren't honouring that all the time, and that's written up and signed.
I know, exactly. Mm. And, like, obviously everyone's going to have a load of different interpretations of anything that's written, especially if it's been written in multiple languages.
Mm. So. Totally, which I guess is the case with a lot of these. Very fascinating. So how did you get into this kind of research? What led you here?
So I did my undergraduate degree in law, and during the second year decided I didn't want to be a lawyer. And so I did a master's then in political theory, and through that found constitutional theory and was like, oh, there are parts of law I still enjoy. I worked at a couple of think tanks and I got into devolution. So that's the moving of power away from central government to, in the UK, to the Scottish Parliament, the Northern Ireland Parliament, the Senate in Wales. And a lot of that is managed by kind of the Sewell Convention is really a key one there. So there's this convention at the heart of these devolved power relationships. And that was also controversial at the time. I say controversial in minor ways. You know, the people who were paying attention were like, wow. And so I got, kind of obsessed with the idea of the fact that so much of... like the way power works in these levels, especially amongst the legislatures, amongst the parliaments, it rests on this rule of good behaviour that, unsurprisingly, politicians don't always follow. And so it was, I kind of got into it through that and went down the rabbit hole.
Mm. I imagine this sort of research is really important in terms of finding potential holes in the way our democratic systems operate and rectifying that and strengthening it moving forward. Especially, all you need to do is look around the world to see some crazy political leaders at the moment, and then,
I know, yes. And so, conventions are seen as a tool to, like, check the authority of sometimes a prime minister or even a president. Like, you do have conventions in the US. They just tend to call it maybe, like, a gloss or a norm. And so they're seen as this... seen as this way of ensuring that, the Prime Minister is behaving as you would hope.
Mm.
But they are really vulnerable, and so I think my research is trying to draw that out a bit more. And so, select committees in the UK Parliament love to recommend just developing a new convention to fix a problem.
Yeah.
And so I am very keen for my research to kind of come together and be like, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe it's not the answer this time,
no.
Folks. Oh, very good. Well, thank you so much, Kelly Shuttleworth, for coming up for a kōrero about your research. Constitutional conventions, everyone. Who knew?
I have learned
Kelly knew.
So much.
We didn't.
Yeah, Kelly knew.
Thank you so much for joining us for a chat. It's been so interesting to learn a little bit about your research.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And thank you to Waipapato Mataro, the University of Auckland. That was Ready, Steady, Learn on 95 BFM Breakfast.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.